This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, good to be with you on a Tuesday. Nick Caserio joins us at the bottom of the hour. Ross Tucker, kind enough to shuffle the schedule around a little bit. We appreciate that. We're going to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline right now to talk to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Ross, I'm glad that you made it on with us here today and that you survived the hunger that I'm sure was gripping you in that Buffalo press box with that horrible, horrible food spread that they had up there.
Yeah, well, first of all, Sean, actually rearranging the schedule for Caserio, who loves to bump me, specifically to bump me every time. He always picks 7:30 Central. he does on purpose. He could pick any other time, but he likes to bump me. It actually worked out perfectly. I just landed an hour ago. I was on the sideline last night for the Rams and Cardinals, so I just took the red-eye flight back to Philadelphia. So it actually worked out great. I can talk to you guys while I'm driving home. So that worked out awesome. And, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw my social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. The SoFi Stadium, the Rams and Chargers Stadium, is amazing. And the press box food was so, so good. Oh. A stark contrast from Buffalo, where I think it's it used to be pretty decent in Buffalo. I think it's really COVID-related now, where they're just doing the box sandwiches. Which, by the way, people need to understand this. I'm never complaining.
Yeah.
I am always evaluating, grading, and judging. I take this seriously. I'm the world's foremost expert on press box food.
Yep.
And so I need to document it with video evidence, pictures. And people are like, it's so funny because I literally said Buffalo press box food, no video needed. And like, I got 10 people, how are you going to complain about free food, man? Like, it's amazing. Like, I wanted to say to those people, like, go back and reread the tweet, buddy. I didn't complain at all. People, like, it's a fascinating lesson. Like, you could tweet something like the, and half the people would be like, totally, totally agree. And the other half would be like, what?
Yep.
It's not about the, it's about that.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
One thing you did tweet last night, which I thought was appropriate, was, okay, we're all, so now there's going to be a whole bunch of people complaining about the non-competitiveness of 5 seeds.
Seven seeds.
Seth's right. It's 5 seats. By the way, that's a great example, Seth. So I think you guys already know this because you're on the radio every day, but there's a lot of people out there that are not the brightest bulbs. And, you know, when I tweeted that, now we get to hear all the people complain about how the NFL never should have let 5 teams in the playoffs because the 5th seeds aren't competitive.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm so tired of that argument with the 7 seeds. I mean, so tired of it, which is why I was saying that facetiously. Of course, I mean, first of all, you know, I'm disappointed that the Steelers and the Eagles weren't more competitive, but only 2 of the 6 games were competitive. And the Cardinals are a 5 seed. They got destroyed. And by the way, if you don't want to watch the 2 seed versus the 7 seed game, then don't. Nobody cares if you watch it or not.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. So, Ross, you had an up-close look at that thing last night. Where are we at with Kyler Murray right now?
Well, it's funny that you should ask that, because I was just on in Philadelphia, and you guys know I do the Eagles pregame and their preseason television. And the big thing in Philadelphia is whether or not Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback. Should they get somebody else? Should they go after Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, blah, blah, blah. What I find so interesting, you know, Jalen Hurts had a bad game. He had a bad game. But, you know, Kyler Murray was awful last night. Awful. I mean, clearly the worst of any quarterback this weekend. Yet you won't hear anybody saying that about him. And it's because of entry point. It's because of there's like a class system in the NFL. Nobody's complaining about Mac Jones not looking great in his first playoff performance because he's a first-round pick. Meanwhile, if Davis Mills played how Mac Jones played, people would be like, oh, I don't know. It's just uncanny how much the conversation is framed by what the guy's draft status was. If Jalen Hurts was a first-round pick, nobody would be saying anything in Philadelphia other than, well, yeah, okay, he didn't play well. It's his first playoff game on the road against Tom Brady. I understand. But no, because he's a second-round pick, it's like, literally, the same people that before the game picked the Eagles to win the game and said at 12:45 Eastern, they picked the Eagles to win the game and said Jalen Hurts clearly a franchise quarterback. By 2:45, I see these same people saying Eagles need to upgrade a quarterback. Hurts can't do it. It's unbelievable. Like, if that's your logic, if that's your thought process, then you're really struggling from a logic perspective.
Ross, I like to ask you questions like this sometimes to get your outside perspective. I would say around here in Houston, I think the majority of people assume, which we should never do, but we assume that Caserio hired David Culley with the purpose that, okay, things were going to be rough for at least a year or two, and they wanted to hire a coach that might be the best and most capable at kind of guiding a team through a really rough patch, if by attitude or what have you. But that perhaps once the Texans got in a better spot, they might hire a different type of coach. Does it make sense to you that maybe just the fact that Davis Mills showed himself to be a potential starting caliber NFL quarterback was enough to trigger, okay, the next stage in the process for the Texans and to move on to a new, maybe a forever head coach, so to speak?
Yeah, I think the Culley hiring, you guys would have to tell me, you know more about it. But I do feel like perhaps when they first hired him, I thought maybe they thought he would be able to relate to Deshaun Watson and get Deshaun to play this year. So I thought that was part of it. I thought that was like part one. And then part two was if he can't and we can't, then, you know, he'll be a guy that is exactly what you just described, Seth. You know, a 1 year, see what he can do, keep the guys together, rally them so that they play for him. And while I think David Culley got a raw deal and deserves another year, you know, it's not that dissimilar from what they do with players. You know, I mean, Nick Caserio is going to come on in 20 minutes, and I think he – probably likes Culley, probably thinks Culley did a pretty good job. But ultimately, I think he's very confident he can get someone who's better. And so it's kind of hard for me to knock that. I mean, what are they going to do? They're having meetings right now. They're going over every single position on the roster, and they're going to try to figure out a plan for how they can get better at every single spot. So I guess on some level, why should head coach be any different? I think Caserio, especially with whether it's Flores or McDaniels or Mayo, people he knows, I think he's extremely confident that those guys would be better head coaches than Cully.
Yeah, I personally, I've never understood at all why coaches get a different treatment than players when it comes to after they get fired. People feel bad for the coaches, and I just don't get it. I think these guys fire over 50% of their employees every single year, and then all of a sudden, hey, when it happens to them, like, oh my God,
they're the ones with fully guaranteed contracts too. Cully's walking out the door with $22 million.
Yeah, yeah.
that is a great point, Sean. Like, cry me a river, and feel free to go ahead and fire me anytime you want if I can get $22 million.
Yes, absolutely. So, Ross, before we get you out of here, what do you think the perception is right now of this Houston Texans head coaching job as compared to the other seven openings that are out there right now?
It's a good question. I think that I'd have to actually like list them and go through them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it really depends on what you think of only a couple people, really. Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio, and Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm.
I think the perception is that they've got a chance to make a pretty big step next year. And that they've got some of the pieces in place, and that this will be a good offseason for them, especially after they presumably trade Deshaun Watson. But, you know, it's funny, Sean. Maybe I should have done more research. I haven't really thought of, like, I need to go through and actually rank the openings. Although, you know, the Raiders are interviewing people, even though I guess I thought they'd give it to Bisaccia. But now that they fired Mike Mayock, that doesn't look like that's going to be the case. I mean, the Raiders are going to end up blowing this thing. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they've got a good thing going. There were reports of GM candidates getting dropped yesterday before the Mayock firing had even been announced. Like it was weird, man.
Very weird. Not good. Dysfunctional. Typical Raiders.
Yep, absolutely. That's our NFL Insider, Odyssey NFL Insider, Ross Tucker. He's on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. Ross, we appreciate it. Taking that red eye and jumping on with us, we really appreciate it. Drive safe, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Of course. Sounds great, guys. See ya.
All right, see ya. Ross Tucker joining us on the program as he does each and every week and making time, being adaptable here for Nick Caserio, who joins us at the bottom of the hour. Speaking of which, breadcrumbs dropped on trading the third overall pick. Let's rehash this before we bring Nick Caserio on at the bottom of the hour.
This is a new breadcrumb that we didn't even cover yesterday.
We didn't. You found this one, Seth. You were out there in the forest and you said, aha, another breadcrumb. Look.
It was sandwiched into an inconspicuous location.
With a big number 3 with a Ghostbuster sign over it. That's what it had on it. So we're going to go through this. We'll talk to Nick Caserio about that and a whole lot more at the bottom of the hour. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Our situation right now is a lot better than it was, I would say, when we sat here last year from a asset allocation, from a salary cap structure, from resources or players in the building to externally opportunities that might be available for us in free agency to, you know, right now we have the third overall pick or whatever that is, you know, whether or not we stay at 3, that's a whole separate discussion, but we'll talk about the draft a little bit later.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Sorry, Landry Locker is up here early, and he was chatting with me. We were just
he's a chatty Cathy,
getting ready for the bottom of the hour here.
Nick Caserio is trying to talk.
That's right. So I say all that to say, Ben, did we bump in with that Caserio cut? We did.
Yeah,
okay,
they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you heard at the end of that cut, Nick Caserio kind of dropping a little Easter egg for us there about the third overall pick. If we decide to stay there, and the draft is a whole nother discussion.
And he had said something. So he said it once very plainly in the press conference. He said it another time pretty plainly in the conversation with John and Mark.
Yeah. Would you like to hear that one?
This is even the third one. He did it twice.
I've got all three here. We've got the one that was from the press conference.
Okay.
Here was the second one that you pointed out to me. Okay. This was when he was talking about the draft and topics like that with Mark and John on Texans Radio.
There's certainly things that you look and say, okay, you know what? We have an opportunity to potentially build on, you know, young players on offense, have still a few good offensive linemen under contract. You know, probably have a few more players on defense who aren't under contract, but you're able to see some production from some different players. You know, a guy like KG, you know, had his most productive season at linebacker over the course of his career. So is that a player that, you know, we would like the opportunity to maybe bring back, you know, possibly, you know, now what that looks like in, if we get to that point. So there's some, I would say, things that are in place, and we're in a better position from a salary cap standpoint. We're in a better position from a draft allocation, draft asset, resource allocation standpoint. So, and, you know, we have the third pick in the draft as of now. So you would hope that you're going to get, you know, a good football player.
Boom. That's good enough. As of now, the third pick in the draft. So that was breadcrumb number two. Seth, here's breadcrumb number three that you unearthed, where John Harris was talking about, hey, at least you get to work Thursday night of the draft when the first round takes place this year.
You actually have to go to work on Thursday night. A, are you ready?
We don't
for
know
that?
What time, but.
Yeah, exactly. A,
boom.
Are you ready?
Boom.
Yeah.
We don't know the time.
At first, I didn't quite catch what he was saying, because the first time I listened through, it didn't really register that it meant, oh, yeah, depending on when your pick is, it might be a little bit later than
that's
that. Yeah.
Three unsolicited third overall pick trade breadcrumbs from Nick Caserio.
Those are deliberate breadcrumbs right there. Those are broken off of a baguette.
Nobody,
big old chunks of bread.
That they're huge chunks of bread. Nobody asked the question, are you looking to trade the third overall pick? He volunteered that each time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the question is, what are we going to ask Nick? Like, what's the least you'll accept for that number three overall
pick?
Yeah,
let's do hypotheticals.
You're not just going to give that thing away for free, are you? Like he's DeAndre Hopkins?
Let's role play. Okay, so I'm Howie Roseman.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm saying I'm not going to do
oh,
that.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know,
I was ready to go.
Hey, Nick, you be Nick Caserio, and I'll be Howie Roseman. We've got 15, 16, and 19, Nick. We'd love to move up to three to take Kenny Pickett.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you accept that trade? Now, that would get headlines, I would say.
But that's the thing with any potential picks that you get for Deshaun Watson. I would expect Caserio to be pretty active, potentially trading back in this draft.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where the sweet spot is, and it varies from year to year depending on what your needs are and what the strength of the draft is in any given year. But to trade out of the top five, if you can get multiple swings of the bat with first-round picks and maybe some high second-round picks, that goes a long way when you're at the place the Texans are right now, where they really just – they need more team speed. They need more talent overall at more than just one or two key positions.
We'll ask him about it in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. We got a lot to get into with Nick Caserio. What is this you texted me? Siri pronouncing Nick Casario's name?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I try to listen to articles sometimes, I'm otherwise occupied – you know, if I'm just doing chores around the house or something.
Multitasking, yeah.
So, but it messes me up because sometimes Siri is idiotic about the way I have it changed to a male voice on my phone.
You do?
So Siri is idiotic about the way he pronounces things. And I have to be careful not to pronounce Nick Caserio's voice like this.
Okay. Hello, Nick Caserio. Do you like the way I pronounce Nick Caserio? I don't think anybody except myself pronounces it this way. Sure. Nick Caserio.
Yeah, you're right. Nick Nobody
Caserio.
Does.
Caserio. Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserole.
Now we have Nick Caserio on the line.
The ironically named Nick Caserole, who's probably never eaten a casserole in his whole life.
You know why I changed it to the male voice, Sean?
Why?
Because I felt I was getting increasingly bossy with Siri and impatient with Siri. And I think there is something about, like, when you're saying it to a woman, I felt like I was a bastard, like, 1970s boss.
Wow.
That was treating Dottie, the secretary, like trash, you know? Like, I was just this misogynistic bastard. So I didn't want to get in the habit of speaking
Dude,
to women that way.
Don't
so now,
start playing.
Now I tell a guy he's a bonehead.
Do not start playing immersive video games. I will lose you as a co-host. Like, if you're that immersed in bossing around Siri, I can't imagine how you'd be playing Call of Duty or one of these games.
Oh, no, it's not even as so, you know, when you ask for something three times and it's not getting right, I realize that, like, I'm starting to raise my voice to a woman in a way that I don't want to get in the habit.
Don't want to get in the habit. I got you.
Raising my voice to women. That
makes sense.
Yeah.
What did Nick Caserio learn from the process of hiring and firing David Culley? We'll ask him that and a whole lot more. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joins us next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. With you on a Tuesday, we go to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline right now, where we find the general manager of the Houston Texans joining us on the program, Texans GM Nick Caserio joining us on the show, or as Siri likes to pronounce his name.
Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserio joining us on the program. Hey, Nick, how you doing this morning?
Flying Fish and Caserio, that's a good start. So we're in good shape. So
I listen to a lot of articles, Nick. And it's not because I can't read. I can totally read. But they do. Siri pronounces your name weird, and it's a constant struggle for me to actually just remember that it's not a hard name to pronounce and to say Caserio.
We've had, I would say, Caserio, Casero, Caserio. So we've run the gamut here, but that's all right. Hey. So whatever it is, I'm sure other people have various and sundry other names as well, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, those go away with wins, Nick, is what we find. So, Nick Caserio joining us on the program. So, Nick, David Culley, your first big hire, and that's over after a year. What did you learn from the hiring and the letting go of David Culley?
Yeah, anytime you make a decision like that, it's never easy. I would say specific to David. It's always difficult to let, I would say, really good people that you develop a relationship with over the course of the year. So, we made the hire last year because we felt that was the best thing for our organization at the time. In the end, it didn't work out, I would say, the way any of us, would have hoped after a year. It's not one thing. It's not one particular thing. I'd say, there's multiple reasons, rather not get into anything too specifically. I think there's some things generally we can discuss. But, in the end, my responsibility to the organization is to make the decisions that I feel are best for our football operation and organization as a whole. And you don't enter something and go into something on a short-term basis and think, okay, after a year, you're going to have to make a change. I think what you have to do, you have to be very purposeful throughout the year and at the end of the year. And, if you get to a point where there's things where maybe you see a little bit differently, you have to have discussions about that. And ultimately, my responsibility is to make the decisions that are best for the organization. So that's what I did, and that's what we did, last week.
This is obviously a different situation this year with this team than it was last year this time. As it is with every team every year, things change. Is it fair to say that you're maybe looking at a different set of criteria for a head coach for this specific team than maybe what you were looking for last January?
Seth, it's probably a good point. I think just organizationally and where we were last January, to your point, we were at a different point. I'd say there's a lot of things swirling around. I think we're in a better situation, candidly, than we were last year on a lot of different levels. And I mentioned this last week. I mean, David has a lot to do with that for the stability and the consistency and the leadership that he brought to our building on a day-to-day basis. So, so we'll recalibrate here. We're working through that process right now. I would say criteria, it's a very general term. And what are you looking for? There's never one particular thing that you're looking for. But I would say just where the building is, where the team is, there's been a lot of turnover on the team. I think going back to the spring, even when I first came on with y'all, when we put the team together, we kind of understood we were going to be high volume signing team. We didn't have a lot of draft assets. So, and a lot of players were on, 1 to 2 year deals, which everybody had seen. you know, the biggest commitment that we made was the Cam Johnston, you know, on a multi-year basis. So we were just trying to bring in a number of different players, give them the opportunity, field as competitive a team as possible, with the idea that maybe out of that group we would be able to maintain some of those players for next year, which in some cases, you know, we've been able to do. So we have 31, 32 players that aren't under contract for next year, so we certainly have a lot of work on the player acquisition front. But I think there's definitely, I'd say, interest league-wide, interest from our own players in potentially returning. And then when you look at our draft situation and draft capital, we're in a better position today than we were a year ago. So I think you make a good point, Seth. It's not perfect. We still have a lot of work to do. We still have a long road in front of us. But I think we're moving in the right direction, and we're able to at least put a foundation in place that everybody at least has an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. Now it's our responsibility to kind of take a next step here from, you know, year one to year two.
Texans general manager Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, you mentioned that draft capital. I feel like you've dropped subtle hints of what I'll call flexibility with where you pick in the first round with that third overall pick. Are you open for business on moving that third overall pick?
Absolutely. Always open for business. You never want to limit yourself to – sorry. Hey, girls, have a good day at school. Sorry, I'm playing a pinch hitter. My wife is on the DL, so I got to get the girls to school. But that's
okay, no problem, Nick.
Sean, it's a fair point. I think, you know, I've always been open-minded when it comes to the draft. I think every team and every individual has a different philosophy. We're not going to trade. We're always going to pick. We're not going to move. I think we're a little bit more, always have been open-minded, progressively thinking, move up and down. And it's not just move to move. And I think trades specific to the draft are always driven by, A, player availability, B, where are you moving, what are you moving away from, and then C, what are you getting in return in terms of asset that potentially could fill out the rest of your team. So we're rolling up our sleeves right now going through that draft process. I'd say there's a number of good players that will be available that we think will be available. But, again, we're open for business on anything. I think that's the one thing about this organization, what people, I'd say, around the league know about me. They're not afraid that we'll always listen and we'll always consider. And then we'll take the information in, process it, and ultimately try to make the decision that we feel is best for our team.
Nick, as I'm sure you've noticed by now, people are obsessed with this concept of you being on the headsets during the game. And it was something that we talked about before you ever arrived in Houston, and we were kind of all well aware of it. And yet people still have questions about it. I guess I'm not – I have questions too. I'm just curious – because you said the other day that you're open to whichever game day arrangement a head coach wants, or, you know, and how much input he might want from you. Like, when do you bring that up in the hiring process? Is that something you talk about in the interview? Is that something you handle after the hire is made? Like, when is that broached?
Oh, it's actually a great topic. Coincidentally, and, you know, I'm in the process right now of talking to various coaches throughout the league. Matter of fact, I was talking to a coach the other day, and he had asked that question specifically. And I said, I'd be more than happy to talk about it. And if you have looked at my background, which those folks that you're alluding to, Seth, obviously haven't, but when you go back and look at my background, you know, when you're in the press box for 18 of 20 years, a lot of that is just hearing the game, viewing the game, and the responsibilities, I would say, even in New England, we're a little bit different. You know, 1 year, I would say it was more hear the play call, write the play down, quality control. Other years, it was, okay, down the distance, hash mark, defensive personnel, get that information to the offensive coordinator so they can determine, you know, what play they want to run, what they want to put in the game. You know, if it's base defense and you have a base run call in your mind as a play caller, if you get that information and tell them, hey, it's base defense, then you might say, you know what, we can't run this run or sub run. Maybe if we're going to be in a multiple receiver grouping, we're better off throwing it. So it's just information flow back and forth. 1 year I was given the offensive personnel to the defensive staff. I remember vividly, I want to say it was maybe 2002 or 2003, we were playing the Seahawks, at our place, and I was giving the offensive personnel, to our defensive staff, and I made a massive mistake. I told them it was either 21 or 11, and it was 20 out. So it was three receivers and two backs. We were taking the information as if it was something different. They ended up getting like a 60-yard completion or whatever it was. So, I mean, and you feel horrible, but the game happens fast. And then I would say this year it was more just listening, observing. If there were things that came up during the game that we needed to talk about situationally, then, you know, we would communicate that. So my philosophy and goal has always been to just provide information where necessary, be a resource, and be as helpful as possible, whatever that constitution is. I'm a very amenable person, very open-minded, but ultimately you just want to make sure you try to get things right during the course of the game. And candidly, there's been times when I've been wrong and I've made a lot of mistakes as well. So we all try to learn from that. So I don't think it's a big mystery. I'd say there's other people throughout the league. They have either their analytics person or somebody from their personnel department maybe doing some of the same things. I think what happens is it maybe gets a little bit magnified because of my quote-unquote title and my role. But in my mind, I don't even view – I know what my role and title is, but I don't really look at it that way. I'm a football person. I'm engaged in the game. I was very well trained with a great organization. So you're just trying to take all that information and disseminate it and use it in the most efficient way possible. So I'm never going to shy away from it. I'm always going to be straight up and tell whoever the coach is, if they have a question, try to get some clarity. That's my job and responsibility, is to provide clarity.
Texans General Manager Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, you guys went through the evaluation of everything once the season was over. Obviously, the season itself is an ongoing evaluation. What was Jack Easterby's role in the evaluation of all the football operation?
Yeah, I know it's been, you know, Jack's been a hot topic for a lot of people. You know, I'd say candidly, you know, probably some of the criticism has been unfair. I think Jack has an important role from an operational and logistics standpoint. I mean, that's what he was brought here to do. That's his role in the football operation. You know, I've talked about this last spring. You know, anything as it pertains to making football decisions, whether it's players, contract signings, those types of things, those fall in scouting, draft analysis, those are all fall under my jurisdiction. So I would say when you look at a football operation in its entirety, it takes a number of different people. It takes a lot of people to actually make sure that it functions and operates, you know, at a good level. So I would say I have a lot of respect and appreciation for the jobs that Jack does. And you know, candidly, not a lot of people probably really understand the nuts and bolts of it. But when you actually get a chance to spend time with Jack, I mean, I think you realize it's probably not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. So I'd say from his perspective, it's always been on an operational kind of a logistics standpoint. And there's certain areas that maybe fall under her jurisdiction that, you know, we'll communicate about. And I can handle the football areas. And then, you know, if there's something that we need to talk about collectively as a whole, whether it's myself, Jack, the head coach, whomever it is, then those lines of communication are open. So I don't see that really changing going forward. It's been pretty consistent, you know, candidly, other than maybe a couple months, you know, there in whatever it was, 2020. Mm-hmm. But, you know, look, I mean, Jack's been a punching bag since he's got here. You know, some of it, I think, quite frankly, is a little bit unjust. But, I mean, everybody has an opinion, and they're certainly entitled to their opinion. But, you know, we'll just kind of keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I guess because of that attention and scrutiny, has that been something that candidates have asked about? Like, okay, exactly what is going on with all of this, this commotion about this one man?
Yeah, it's a good question, Seth. And we're straight up just honest. And if they have a question or want to know, then, you know, we mention it and bring it. And I'd say, you know, there's a lot of folks that I would say league-wide know Jack and have a lot of respect for him. So we're not going to hide anything. We're going to be straightforward. We're going to lay it out. And because whomever comes in here, you want them to be comfortable. You don't want them to come in under some auspice of, well, I'm really not sure. Like, we're not going to operate that way. We're going to be straight up. We're going to be honest. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to communicate clearly. We're not going to hide these things. So if it does come up, absolutely, we're going to address it, and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to run from it. And if they need more clarity, or if they want to talk to Jack specifically more about something, by all means, like, that's their prerogative, and then we'll give them the opportunity to do it.
Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, a lot of moving parts, obviously, with this offseason. Laremy Tunsil, was it just a case for him? Was he just, from week five on, just too injured to play this year?
Yeah, I would say every situation, every player, you know, is in a different circumstances. I think, you know, the injury that he sustained, whatever it was, you know, was a legitimate injury. And as we work through the process, you know, every player has to, you know, work through some things. And in the end, you know, it didn't work out, and Laramie didn't end up playing, you know, for the duration of the season. So, again, we can't worry about what happened last year. We're going to focus on this upcoming season. To your point, Sean, we're going through kind of the evaluation of, you know, our team, where we're at. I think we have, I want to say, 45, 46 players that are currently under contract for next year, including some of the reserve future players, practice squad-ish players that we signed after the season. So, you know, we'll talk about everybody. We'll go through our team. Whenever we do get the head coach in place, you know, we'll probably have to bring them up to speed. I'll have to bring them up to speed about where we are from a personnel standpoint. So I would say, you know, Laramie would fall into that category just like everybody else.
Nick, I know you try to stay open to as many possibilities as possible with everything with the football team. Is in the list of things that could happen with Deshaun Watson, is there any possibility of him coming back and playing for the Texans at any point?
It's a good question. You know, I think, you know, there's been some commentary and, you know, that more than likely would not be the case. But I think, to your point, again, like you mentioned, I think we just have to be open-minded and just take the information and process it and ultimately make the decision, you know, that we feel makes the most sense for everybody involved, whatever that looks like.
Hey, last question, Nick. Sean and I have been reading this book.
Unless you got to go to a commercial break.
Listen, Tom Brady's favorite motivational book is The Four Agreements, or at least so I've heard. So I got this because I like to read the books that my enemies are reading. And I'm going through the book, and I feel like I've seen The Four Agreements peppered into a little bit of your thinking. Am I correct in that?
I haven't seen that book, so educate
me. Oh, okay, you've just gotten it by osmosis from Tom Brady.
I do a lot of reading, but I haven't come across that one yet.
It's the third of Tom Brady's four agreements is don't make assumptions. So the other day when you were talking about not making assumptions, you said it a couple times. I said, oh, that's it. Casario and I are reading the same book. We're simpatico, but apparently not.
See, Nick?
You can't make assumptions about anything. I think that's fair.
That's it. See, proof that Nick is an honest man, because I would have totally taken credit for reading a book that I didn't read right
Nick,
there.
No, Nick, you
I've read
read
a lot of books, but I haven't read that one. Actually, not that anybody wants to hear this, and I know I get crushed for my Silicon Valley references, but I'm actually reading a book by Reid Hoffman, Masters of Scale. So Reid, LinkedIn founder, writes Silicon Valley. It's actually a really interesting book about entrepreneurs. It kind of profiles, I would say, different companies in their infantile stages when they started and some of the trials and tribulations that they had to go through, from Sarah Blakely at Spanx to Airbnb to Uber to, I mean, it's really, you know, it's just, so sorry, not to bore the listeners with that, but
no, Sean knows that I'm going to order that.
He's feverishly scribbling on his notebook right now, yeah. Nick. you've got at least one interested person.
You're not my enemy, so I'm reading it for different purposes. Tom Brady's my sworn enemy. I would encourage, now that he's your sworn enemy too, I think you should read the books he's reading.
Exactly.
I was never going to be my sworn enemy.
Before we get
off the phone, I'm going to probably throw some programming advice your direction, which it happened to work well in training camp. But once we maybe get through the, you know, Omar probably didn't even know I'm going to ask this, but once we get through the spring here a little bit, you know, if we want to have like a roundtable community 6-10, you know, discussion with the rest of the fellas in the, you know, on the station, maybe that kind of a town hall, like I'll put that on the table as maybe something that, you know, maybe we can consider down the road.
Well,
so maybe you guys want to, you know, shy away from that, but I'm just going to throw it out there. I know everybody wants to take their shots and everything, but happy to have maybe entertain that discussion maybe at some point in the spring. Maybe we can raise some money or do something, you know, that helps people. So.
Oh, that's it. Nick, that's awesome. Nick, I'm not the boss here, neither is Seth, but on behalf of Sports Radio 610, we accept. So, yeah. No, that would be awesome. So we would love that.
Omar's like rolling over in his chair right now.
I'm sure. Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us on the program. Nick, really good stuff. I know you got some busy times coming up. Is this open-ended right now? You got a specific time frame, or just when the best guy presents himself, that's when it'll happen?
Yeah, it's pretty open-ended. I think, you know, we're kind of in the infantile stages of the kind of the initial discussions here. So, you know, we'll work through it. We'll take our time. And then when we feel it's time to make a decision, we'll make a decision.
Good stuff. Texans general manager Nick Caserio. Nick, appreciate you making time, especially dropping off your kids at school. Hope your wife feels better, and we'll catch up soon, man. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, fellas.
All right, thanks. Nick Caserio joining us on the show. All right.
As one of our listeners points out, they love that I made an assumption about a book that's not just about not making assumptions. I just assumed that you read the book that gave the advice, don't make assumptions.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And also people asking, which I believe the name of the book that Nick recommended was Masters of Scale.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
I just got a text from our boss's boss who accepted Nick Caserio's invitation to do a roundtable. So that's going to happen. Good. Nick's getting a lot of good feedback on the text page. About as candid as we've heard the Texans general manager on things.
Nick Caserio, as Siri calls him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.